but she dragged her mama in the New York Times. Like, that's... I don't think I'll ever get over that. It's my new Roman Empire.
What's good? Welcome to another episode of Diaspora United. I am Andre Carlisle, and I am here, as always, with Courtney Stith, my co-host. Courtney, how are you?
Temperamental.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
That's how I'm feeling today. I low-key am in my honey nut filios, but I'm always happy to record and talk about women's soccer. That's what gives me a lot of joy.
I don't know how much joy you might have on this episode. We'll see.
We're gonna find it.
We're going to have to find the joy. We're going to squeeze the joy out of the bullshit. That's what we do. It's fine. All right, let's get started. We do a review up front. Read a review, of course. I'm going to ask again and quite nicely, please, oh please, rate and review the podcast. It helps.
Leave Andre a middle name.
Or a dad joke. Those are more fun to read on the podcast. Such as
middle names bring me a lot of joy. Just giving
the homie,
Andre.
The homie Ted Ernst dropped a review called The Best Women's Soccer Show, which, oh, shout out to you. Thank you. It says, turns out I can't leave a second review, so don't know if you'll ever see this. You know what? This is the kind of energy I want. All right, Ted jumping through hoops to leave a second review. I want y'all to be like Ted. All right, now we're going to continue on with the review. Two antennas got married. The ceremony was okay, but the reception was terrible.
I was like, where's the TV pun coming into this? I was trying to figure it out. The reception is terrible. Very good. Well done.
Yeah, well done, Ted.
Someone leave a review with one of the lyrics from Bruno Mars' song called Perm. It's not a dad joke per se, but it feels like a dad joke. Someone should leave a review with one of those lyrics in it so I can force Andre to read it, because I don't think you know what I'm talking about by the look on your face of what the lyric is.
I'm scared,
is.
So hopefully... I'm going to look it up after the podcast. Cause...
It's a mess, but it's hilarious. And it's really good. Someone leave a review with with the start of the chorus from that song.
Super unfortunate. Not looking forward to that, but all right. we do appreciate it when y'all rate and review the podcast. It is very important in this whole podcast space. We know there's a million podcasts, but if you listen to us, first of all, thank you. Second of all, please help us out. Rate, review. Okay, Courtney, this episode, we're going to talk about Gold Cup rosters because those were dropped today. Well, most of those. Canada, U.S. Women's National Team. Don't think I saw
Brazil's already dropped.
Brazil dropped previous.
Like, yeah. 2 weeks ago. They were like, we're ready.
Brazil wasn't playing. They're like, we could. We good to go. So we're going to discuss that. Lindsey Horan's comments. Deep, heavy Negro sigh. European updates, and we're going to do some heated and hyped and then get out of here. Courtney, anything to add before we get started?
Nope.
Okay, let's do it. Let's do these Gold Cup rosters. Well, really, we're going to focus on the U.S. Women's National Team because, of course, it's what we do. But I do want to shout out Canada's squad. There are quite a few Black players on that squad that were called up. I believe 8 overall. Could have been more.
Period.
Could have been more, but, you know. All right. You know, I always find it a little interesting that Canada finds a way to like have a bunch of Black players and like we're finally getting there. And it's like, hey, man, I'm just saying, like, I don't know the demographics of Canada off the top of my head, but I got questions.
The Canadian national team deeply benefits from Jamaica not having its shit together because there are many a dual national. And while I would not want also a player to go to a federation that does not fund them, to be fair, Canada's federation is also not doing that. But to maybe a slightly less strong degree.
Talk about the options in women's soccer. Like if you're a dual national for Canada or Jamaica, given the way those feds run, I'm sorry.
I mean, truly, it's like, do you want? I'm gonna say 10% more support. Or you could have really cool gear.
Neither is ideal, and play with Bunny Shaw.
Neither is ideal, truly. But Canada does deeply benefit from Jamaica not having its life together because there are a lot of secret dual nationals on that squad.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so let me run through the black players real quick on that Canada squad. You got Simi Owuoju, which I love to see. Khadija Buchanan, Ashley Lawrence, which I also love to see. Chelsea Connection. Nichelle Prince, Jade Riviere, Jade Rose, Deanne Rose. I love that, you know, the Jade and the Rose makes me happy. And then Olivia Smith.
Deanne Rose is back.
Yeah, Deanne Rose is back. I love to see that. And Olivia Smith, 19 years old. Excited about seeing her get some playing time with the national team. I'm here for that. So that is Canada's squad, at least the black delegation from Canada's squad.
Wait, where's Nichelle? Did you say Nichelle?
Yeah, I said Nichelle.
Oh, I knew okay, Nichelle. I was like, wait a second. Where's Nichelle?
Yeah, she is there. Okay, let's talk about the U.S. Women's National Team roster because it did drop. And I'm just going to read through it real quick. So three goalkeepers, Jane Campbell, after a big year, gets back into the squad over Aubrey Kingsbury, is really the third choice keeper. Then there's still Casey Murphy and there's still Alyssa Nair. We'll see what happens in terms of who ends up starting. But whatever, those are the goalkeepers. Eight defenders, Alana Cook, Abby Dahlkemper, Tierna Davidson, Crystal Dunn, still listed as a defender. We'll get into it later. Emily Fox, Naomi Girma, Casey Kruger, Jenna Nyswanger. Midfielders, Corbin Albert, Sam Coffey, Lindsay Aran, Rose Lavelle, Olivia Moultrie, Emily Sonnet, and the forwards. All my forwards black. Mia Fischel, Midge Purse, Trinity Brown, Jaden Shaw, Sophia Smith, and Lynn Williams. Courtney, thoughts overall?
Happy Black History Month to the forward line.
To the forward line. And a decent chunk of the back line.
I was like, and half of the defender.
Right.
We do not have midfield, a happy Black History Month.
I'm going to have, I got something midfield for you soon.
Hopefully that is, I mean, that is something. Let's see, my overall thoughts. I was surprised at Jane Campbell's inclusion. Not saying that she doesn't deserve it, because she did have a great year for club. I was just like surprised, because I feel like once you're kind of out of the national team fold, I feel like with the goalkeeping pool, you're like, they're like, adios, like, we're not going to see you again. What else? I was surprised about, well, A, there are three practice squad players of Mal Swanton, Giselle Thompson, and Savannah DeMello. Yeah. Happy to see Mal is back.
Yes.
I'm not super surprised she's a practice squad player, because
not at all. And I'm glad they're gonna, like, I'm happy about it.
Yeah.
Actually.
Like, they're going to want her to warm up to just playing footy again after tearing her patella tendon. Love seeing Giselle Thompson in the mix. Honestly, I feel like this is like kind of the newest thing of like bringing like a new young player into the fold. I feel like they bring them on as like a practice squad player and then decide if they like want to call them up for the full roster or not. At first was surprised about the exclusion of Alyssa Thompson. Then Twyla Kilgore told us that she has a minor back injury and that they didn't want to take a chance. And I was like, oh my gosh, look at this bed. Not forcing a player to play through pain.
Right. And a young player rub some dirt on it, get out there. We're not doing that no more.
Like, wow. But yeah, I feel like besides that, I'm like, obviously I'm happy to see Dunn back. Kind of wish Becky Sauerbrunn was back. Can't lie. To my fave, my captain. But yeah, I like, besides that, I'm not like too, oh, well, sorry. I guess I'm surprised that Alex Morgan was not called in. That was a surprise for
but
several
can,
of
can
us.
You, can in you break of, down why you're surprised? Because I think that's important.
Because she's just kind of one of those players who always gets called in unless she's coming, like, in the process of having a baby or coming back from having a baby, honestly. Like, I don't know, I just feel like she's kind of always called in, even at times where she hasn't necessarily been in the best run of form for club. Like, going into the World Cup this year, she was called up on the roster but hadn't scored, I believe, since early May.
And not just called up, started every game.
Started every game. And so, yeah, I feel like, I don't know, that I think, I just guess that is in fact why I'm surprised, because historically speaking, she's always called up, like, unless she has, like, a legit injury or is having a baby or coming back from having a baby. I am curious if there's a situation in which a penalty happens, who is going to take the penalties, because out of the current crop of players, they've missed a good amount of penalties. Like, I've watched Rose Lavelle miss a penalty. I've watched Lindsay Horan miss one or two penalties. So that was also a thing at the back of my mind. But besides that, I guess just overall, I'm kind of surprised at the lack of veteran presence on this roster. I'm pretty sure Alyssa's the oldest player, and the most capped player in this roster is Lindsey Horan, and then I believe second after that is Crystal Dawn. And then after that, it's like, I mean, I know we were making a joke in November of like Becky and the kids, but like this very much feels like Crystal, Lindsey, Alyssa, and the kids. Oh, and Casey. Well, Casey, I think it is the motto of this podcast that Casey Krueger should be a 100-cap player on the national team.
Yes.
But she is, to be fair, one of the older players. But she's, so I'm like, it really is like, hey, we gave four bets and whole bunch of kids. Or five, if I include. Well, I kind of forget about Emily Sonnet and Rose Lavelle. It's, you know, the overarching theme. There are a lot of young players on this roster.
Yeah. I just think, like, for me, and I know, like, going into a tournament, even though, you know, it's a Gold Cup, it's not the Olympics, it's not the World Cup, obviously. It'll still be a fun tournament, I think. But I'm just like, we fumbled the transition so bad that you almost need something drastic. And to me, this isn't really drastic enough. But maybe that's just me. I am happy to see some of the players left out. I mean, Alex Morgan makes a lot of sense to me from a results, like, performance standpoint. She just straight up wasn't scoring goals, and it kind of got to be like a Curb Your Enthusiasm like situation where she would miss a chance or sky a shot, or you know, the keeper would save her shot, or she would get bad contact on it and end up be a good chance, but it just rolls straight to the keeper, and you could almost like zoom in on her face and start the Curb Your Enthusiasm music because she was just looking like, I can't believe this is happening to me. And it's like,
I mean, that did in fact happen when she missed that penalty against Vietnam. Literally, yeah. The camera cut her and she started giggling.
Yeah, yes.
Not like obviously I'm happy, but like, of course. Like, I watched it in real time.
Yeah, she was just very, very confused about what's going on. And I just think like, it's kind of time to kind of put more pressure on other players to score goals, which is something we should have done a long time ago. I digress. I like that you brought out the point about Alyssa Thompson. I do think it's important. I kind of, you know, threw out a silly little joke there, but I do want to make sure people know where I stand on that. Yes, this Fed has broken enough players, more than enough players. I am very happy to see caution being taken, especially with a player so young who could be pressured to play through it if they wanted. The question is, would they still have made the same decision if this were the Olympics? I don't know. But again, this is not a bad thing. I would love to see Alyssa Thompson out there, but it's smart to not push it. I also like the training players. I think there's a media availability with Savannah DeMello tomorrow. I'm going to try and attend that because I'm wondering if she had an injury as well. It's why she's with the training squad, because I'm not quite sure. Because it does make me ask questions about the midfield in terms of whose responsibility, outside of really Rose Lavelle, whose responsibility is it going to be to drive the ball forward, dribble carry situation, and create chances? Are kind of my thing. Like, where's the creativity in this midfield? I know Olivia Moultrie is a good passer. To me, the more dynamic passer we've kind of seen play in those midfield spaces is Jaden Shaw. And mm-hmm. I don't know why she's listed among the forwards. The other player that we've seen be able to carry the ball forward and be creative from midfield to attack is Crystal Dunn. Again, she is a defender. So they're like two black players that could very much be part of this midfield, but instead they're not. And I'm looking at the midfield group and saying, I don't really see where we get what's been lacking for a couple of years in terms of trying to find that creativity, trying to find that final ball, trying to find that link between midfield and attack.
Yeah, I 100% agree, especially with the note about Jaden Shaw and then listing her as a forward when it is so clear that she operates as a 10.
Yeah.
I will say I am not, I don't know if it's, it's not that I'm not worried about that. Sorry for using a double negative. But I do think like having a player like Mia Fishel in the mix does change things a little bit. Where, no, do I want Mia Fishel to come back and operate as a 10? I mean, I would like, it'd be fun to see her and Jaden Shaw operate as dual 10s for like 20 minutes, but that's just because I'm a soccer sicko. Like, that's not like, that's just me being like, I don't know, I'm kind of curious. But like, do I actually want to see that happen? No. But I do think having, I don't know, I'm thinking about like the last time that the US played, and while driving the ball forward is extremely important, I do think also at times we have seen players like a Trinity Rodman kind of come in and drive the ball forward, or like, for example, an Abby Dahlkemper, or even Naomi Girma at times, having those big crossfield ball switches to then get it to someone out wide to drive the ball forward. While not saying that it's not important to have someone in the middle of the park to do that, and obviously, I mean, Roosevelt is still there, I don't think also it's like a part of, just generally a part of the game plan for the current iteration of the U.S. Women's National Team to almost like play through the middle. Now, is that a result maybe of some funky things happening in the midfield? Yeah. But is it the type of thing where like, we're just bypassing this? We're just going high and wide to kind of get around that issue?
That's where I have a problem, because I don't think that's like, a good idea.
I agree. I also just think like that's like, if I'm being honest, I think until Emma like officially takes over, I think we're just going to continue seeing some iteration of that, because that is, to be fair, kind of the way they've been playing, where it's just like get it high and wide to a winger, try to get someone to do something. And do I think it's probably going to work for 2 out of 3 of those group stage games? Sure. But then it's like, okay, you still have a third group stage game, and with the expectation of you to win this tournament, that means that's 7 games. If that only works for 2 out of 7, it's not going to be ideal. But I also had to flip that. Like, I don't know. I guess that's just the way I'm thinking about it. It's like, this is what I expect until Emma comes over full time, and then she's going to start like tinkering and trying to fix things and figure things out. I feel like just a lot of it is going to be honestly just like a lot of commotion on the wings.
Yeah, and that's kind of been my concern in terms of like how the team plays. I mean, we've seen on national team stages, we've seen domestically the midfields are quite important. You can, you know, play up
what?
And down the wings.
A midfield is important.
It is a revelatory statement. I understand. But yeah, it is a way that I would like to see us figure out. And I just like, I like Corbin Albert. I think that, you know, Twyla talked about her a little bit. They're going to try her at a bunch of positions. I would not do the 6. I've watched enough PSG games to know that that's probably not a great idea. And also just given her skill set, she should be, I think, a number 8, but maybe a number 10. But the concern I have with her is like a number 10. She very much is good at creating her own shot, but not necessarily shots for others. And she's not really, she's shifty on the ball, but she's not dynamic. And that's kind of like that dynamism on the ball, whether it's passing or whether it's dribbling. It really right now in the midfield, it's all up to Rose Lavelle to do basically both of those things. And I don't necessarily think, I think Rose Lavelle is a very dynamic dribbler, but I don't know if she's a dynamic passer. I think she's a good passer, a quality passer, but not dynamic. I think of Jaden Shaw as a dynamic passer. So like I am worried about that. I want to see improvement in the midfield, the way that we do it. Yes, we can just, you know, boot the ball to our wingers because we have very talented forwards that are very hard, but like, let's make their jobs a little bit easier. You know, let's work the ball around, give them some 1v1s, make defenders have to make quick decisions instead of allowing them to kind of be doubled up on the wing, and then they have to go 1v2 and hope to do something good. Or we maybe get an overlapping, you know, run from a fullback at the right time, and then we can put in a cross. I think we can be a lot more, I think we can threaten in many different ways, but you have to be a threat in the center of the pitch in order to do that. And right now, I think we're still set up, this squad is still set up to be primarily dangerous on the wing. And I would like to see us be more balanced.
Oh yeah, I completely agree. And I mean, also like being dynamic in only one part of the field makes you easy to defend.
Correct. Yes.
Like, and also I don't think people are going to recognize the impact of having squads like Brazil and Colombia come into a tournament like this, where it is not going to be, I can just be faster than you or body you off the ball. Girl, they're going to body you right back. Like,
Colombia like, team all, beat up Germany. So yes.
I was like, first of all, this is CONCACAF, and then you're adding CONMEBOL in it. There are going to be some crunchy tackles all over the field. And so, yeah, like kind of the way that I feel like at times the U.S. can maybe overrun teams by being either super physical or quite simply just being faster than, you know, some outside backs and things like that. Like, it's quite simply not going to cut it. But yeah, like maybe I'm just not super worried about the midfield, because I just know that like the U.S. fundamentally is still in just this transition period. And I feel like as long as things are starting to move in the right direction, which I do think they are, like, generally, like, they're slowly coming along in the right direction, even just by, like, simplistic, hey, everyone, this is our game plan, and we're all going to execute it, and it's like, whoa, oh my gosh, we're not having 11 players groupthink? What a surprise. But yeah, I am a bit worried. Actually, I know I just said I'm not worried about the midfield, but I have a bit of a concern about the six, because while I love Sam Coffey, for all the reasons I just said, in terms of players are going to at times beat you to a ball or be super physical, I'm not sure we have necessarily a super physical midfield presence. Like, even if you can't drive the ball forward, like stopping counterattacks, things like that, like having someone kind of come in and crack skulls and take names. I also don't know if we have a player like that right now that's sitting in that midfield.
We do. Jalen Howe. They just need it, not in the squad, but they just need to stop playing around with Jalen Howe. They need to get her back in the squad. She's that. That's what you need. You have that, and then you can be way more flexible in the midfield. But I don't know why they haven't called her up.
Don't you need someone's not on the squad that can do that?
Yeah, no. I would very much like to see her included. I guess they think that person's going to be Emily Sonnet, but I'm telling you,
that's never been her game, though.
I know. And this is the thing that's killing me.
Midfielder has never been like a crunchy tackly type midfielder. She has never been at times like anything similar to a Julie Ertz, even if they're being put in the same position. Those are just like two entirely different. Like, those are even her compared to Jalen Howell are two.
Yes.
Like fundamentally different players, or even
I'm just tremendously confused about this sudden deep reliance on Emily Sonnet at the six. It's not like it does work on occasion, but it's not like it's almost become like that's our six, and it's like, wait, says who? Why? Like, it's the performances haven't been that stellar where you're like, okay, this position's nailed down. It shouldn't be. Like, it's been all right from time to time, but it's not as versatile as you might want in a player there. And in terms of being a dynamic ball winner or a dynamic passer, not really one or the other. It's kind of just kind of a kind of balanced middle skill set that doesn't really stand out a ton. And you can be like, depending on positioning and how much intensity is being applied to the position, that can be all right. But like...
Right. I even think of players like Vlaco tried to make a six. Like, for a little bit, he's trying to make Christy Mewis a six.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I think Christy Mewis obviously is best as a left-sided eight. Like, at least if you put her at the six, you know that Christy Mewis is going to get in some crunch attack.
Yeah. And she's going to ping some passes with that left foot.
And she's going to ping a pass or have a really nice through ball.
Yeah.
As long as she's not fighting the wind. But... that's a deep cut for those who've been paying attention to WSL recently. I started this about 2 minutes ago. I said I was not concerned about the midfield. Now the longer I think about it, I'm still concerned about the midfield. All the concern. The longer I thought, the more concern came into my heart. So, it's, something is going to happen. A thing is going to occur. That's all I'm going to say. Something is going to happen. And, like, look, let's be realistic. Like, the U.S., unfortunately, can probably play not great football. And then Trinity Rodman is like, hello! Or Lynn Williams is like, hello! Or Mia Fischel is like, hello! But, basically that entire forward line.
Yeah.
At one point, it's going to be like, hello! And you're going to be like, ah! And it's going to be, Band-Aids covering up, like, deeper cracks, which is truly how I define the entire block of Andonovsky era. It's just Band-Aids covering up deeper cracks.
That was like the CONCACAF W Championship was. I mean, this is kind of shaping up to be something similar, except now we are going to have, like you mentioned, Brazil and Colombia. Those are going to be tough. Canada's still going to be tough. Mexico, like, they're getting their shit together. It's. I know we said that last time, but they still played the U.S. quite tough in that game as well in the W Championship. So, like,
and I was like, and the U.S. needed an offside goal to get a goal.
Yeah.
I will say in that game they did, because I was working it. They did hit the post like three times, and I was like, how? But I think, I guess, what I really want to see out of this U.S. team more than anything is I want to see like multiple goal scorers, because I think that's also one thing that people really forgot about the Vlatko and Donofsky era, is that at one point during every single year, someone got hot and scored all the goals. But that's a huge problem, because then that player would proceed to get hurt, and then the goals, you know, would dry up, or some, to be fair, someone would take their place, but it was like, it wasn't like the U.S. was necessarily creating, you know, like a lion's share of really, really good chances. It was just like someone got hot. And at first it was Chris and Press, and then it became Kat, and then it became Mal. Well, to be fair, for 6 months, it was like Mal, Kat, Soph were all just kind of assisting each other. Then Kat got hurt. And then it was Mal and Soph, and then Mal got hurt and Soph got hurt. And then it was like, you know, those veteran players that you bring around, because, you know, nine times out of 10, they're going to score these goals. Stopped. And the goals dried up, which is how the U.S. could not beat Sweden despite absolutely dominating them in every sense of the word in that match. But yeah, so I think that's like the number one thing I really want to see out of this tournament. It's like, I want to see multiple goal scorers and goal scorers also in different ways. Cause also I remember in Vlatko's, like, there was definitely more than three games in Vlatko's time as head coach of this team where it was like you needed a moment of brilliance for them to score. Like, I think about like the time, remember when Kristen just put the ball on Sam's forehead, just like literally like, ball to the forehead, because the Portuguese goalkeeper was just becoming a brick wall. Like, that happened several times, and we were like, hey, yeah, I think that's good. We're like, it's fine, Lindsay, you're the great six, it's fine. Yeah, I just really want to see like dynamic forward play, I think, more than anything.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, we may talk about this a little bit later as well, because I think they're probably not going to be. I mean, Kat can play as a forward, but I'm pretty sure, given the way the squad is constructed, if she's back and fit and healthy, plays well with Chelsea and all of that, she's going to be the midfielder to drop into that role. But right now, it's very interesting. It almost feels like the NFL's like black quarterback problem of a few years ago, where you can score the goals, you can score the touchdowns, you can score the things, but in terms of like the brains, the engine, the quarterback role, the midfield role, you can't really be there. And I'm kind of looking at Jaden Shaw being pushed into the forward line, and I'm kind of looking at Chris LeDun still being a defender, and I'm still thinking like, we don't have to live this way, like, especially because those two players have skill sets that actually are needed in midfield. And this is the thing that's been consistent for years. So, yeah, when you get new players, when you have an established player like Crystal Dunn, you could just do right by her. You know, you could start to do that. Or when you have new players coming in, you could also then not push them into spaces where they are not at their best. And I do think Jaden Shaw is a fine addition to a forward line, but she really, like you said earlier, she really cooks as an attacking mid. And I think it would be important for the team to have, because it's a dynamic that we do not have. Now, maybe Twyla throws her in as a 10, like off as a sub or something. Who knows? Like, maybe that'll happen, but I'm kind of looking at it and I'm saying right now, as the squad is on paper, it doesn't look like that's the plan. And it's a little frustrating.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think I feel like if Twyla does put her in at one point, Jaden Shaw is just going to like Jaden Shaw. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're going to be like, yeah, go be a forward. She's just going to like hover, pick up the ball and try to run it and like run into spaces and things like that, or thread through balls and things.
And then they'll act like that's what they wanted to happen.
And be like, yes, exactly. Like, hey, what? Like,
well, you could just list her as a midfielder. How about that?
Yeah. I mean, but also sometimes I wish that wingbacks were listed as midfielders, not defenders. Because I'm like, I feel like there's many a player on this roster that's secretly going to play as a wingback, but they're like, defender. And I'm like, is it? Are we sure? And I could, honestly, that's probably four. That defensive line is wingbacks, Crystal Dunn, and center.
True.
That's literally all it is.
All right. I want to get to the Lindsey Horan comments. But before we do, I do want to talk about the baby U.S. Women's National Team, the U-17 team, because they are in their own CONCACAF W Championship right now. And they hooping. They started off with a massive win, and then they kind of cooled down. It was 3-1 versus Puerto Rico. They kind of needed a second half goal and a penalty to get that 3-1 lead. But then they beat Canada 5-0. Barcenas scored a banger, and it was kind of great. So if you're paying attention, if you have FS2, then check out the two semifinals happening. The U.S. team plays Haiti Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern, and then Mexico and Canada play at 4 p.m. Eastern. Ready to talk about these damn Lindsey Horan comments?
Yes, Lindsey Horan. That's how they call her.
It is. It is. It's unfortunate.
On the Champions League broadcast.
Okay, let's get into this. Honestly, I kind of want to hear your reaction to these comments, just because, like, I've already written some stuff, and I don't know if you're listening, maybe you read it, maybe you didn't, doesn't really matter. I'll get into some of it as well, but I kind of want to, like, give, you know, Courtney an opportunity to kind of respond and react, because her aunt said a lot. It was an interview in The Athletic, if you missed it. I don't really know or understand the purpose of this interview. It seems like it almost seemed like what's on your chest? Like, what do you want to get off your mind? And instead of, like, let's have, like, a focus to it, but maybe that's just what Horan did in terms of answering the questions. I don't know. I'm confused. We don't know what questions were asked because we didn't really even see them. So, like, I don't know. But anyway, what was your reaction?
Well, I will say just to that, sometimes interviews just spiral out of control and you're just like, sometimes you just gotta be along for the ride. And that's,
yeah.
For some of the quotes coming out of this, I was like, there was probably a focus. And then, you know what? This is not an Apple Store comparison at all. We're in an interview with Shannon Sharp. And it just went, like, he would ask, like, a basic question, and the cat would just go, like, left field.
I would not
be surprised if there was a version of that happening.
It is funny because it really does almost sound like it reads like a transcript of an interview. That it's almost like off camera, Shannon Sharp was like, So Lindsey Horan, these silly little team photos, what are your thoughts? She just went off. It was just like, okay, next topic.
Or she, like, asked, like, how do you feel like the team's doing? It's like, I hate team photos. I hate fun.
You like pancakes and waffles? And she goes off about culture. It's like, all
right. Right. It's like, okay. Yeah, that's sometimes how this read. Obviously there's a lot going on with this, and there are, like, several things, right? Like, it's calling U.S. fans stupid.
That was real cool from the national team captain.
Don't do that. Quite simply, don't do that. Maybe we should really start, a segment on this podcast called Still Processing, even though I know that's the name of another podcast by the New York Times, but, like, that's often how I'm still feeling about this interview, because there's a lot of things that happen, and I feel like every time you, like, it's almost like a blooming onion. Like, you just keep seeing more and more layers of things happening. And it's like, first...
a blooming potato.
That's very funny. So it's like, the first thing, calling U.S. fans dumb. And actually, for the people, I'll read the exact quote. She says, quote, American soccer fans, most of them aren't smart, she says. They don't know the game, they don't understand, but it's getting better and better. Now, I probably would not have said that in general. Because I don't think it's like the smartest thing to say when you are not only a national team captain, but also trying to grow the game in this country. So that's the first thing. But then the second part of that is she drags her mama into it.
For no reason.
And basically drags her mama in The Athletic, which this article was then printed in the New York Times Weekend Edition. Or like in a New York Times issue in the subsequent day, which I do have a copy of because my dad is a boomer and still gets print newspapers, and saw women's soccer and said, Courtney, here. And I said, oh, so you dragged your mama in the New York Times. I personally could never do that and still be alive to see the day. But I'm also like, there are many different ways you could have illustrated this example without your mom. Also without dragging the fans, because the core issue of what she was getting at was media coverage of the game, and she brought up Julie Foudy and Julie Foudy commentating, and that's fundamentally what she was, like, that's one of her, the qualms she had that was kind of illustrated in this article, and I'm like, if you have a problem with media coverage, like, you have a problem with media coverage, I don't know why you dragged the fans into this, or your
and
mom,
specifically American
honestly.
Fans. What match commentary is the most enlightened?
Well, and I'm also like, and then she goes on to this comparison about like, you know, in France and other people in France. And I'm like, you're having a study abroad trip and coming back yes. being obnoxious. Look, I've been there. I am still a little bit in there.
Barcelona.
But like, France. But like, of course, football is big and like, footy is huge all around the world and people live, eat, breathe, and sleep football in other countries. But that doesn't mean they don't have dumb fans. Have you been on Twitter? literally, have you been on Twitter or any social media account? You will see some of the dumbest takes from people all around the world. That is not a thing that is uniquely American. Like, there are dumb takes from fans all around the world and you just decided to drag the fans of the nation you come from? So that was the first thing. But the thing I also really want to get at outside of the media coverage, because I think that's a conversation we're probably going to have on another desk or United Media Roundtable, because I really do want to have a longer, more in-depth conversation about that, because I think there's a lot of nuance in that conversation, because I feel like for us, also like our friends at Shea Butter FC and other black people in the soccer space, like we have been saying, for example, there have been problems with the U.S. women's national team, and they've instead been super papered over by, at times, other media in the space. But what I want to get at, and what I want to get at is kind of this concept that she's been putting out of professionalism. And I, to be fair, I've heard this from a few people, like, and I feel like it's a uniquely American thing, let's say, to have like pregame fit photo walks and everyone wears something different to your home stadium and all that stuff versus like when you, for example, see like bus arrivals and team arrivals in the Champions League, for example, they're all wearing like, you know, they're all wearing the same outfit. They all have the same things. Like, you know, for the most part, they're wearing the same shoes. Maybe get a little variety of that, like all this stuff. But she brings up professionalism in terms of like pregame team photos. And in particular, like it was really kind of a target at the Washington Spirit, maybe a few other NWSL teams, but like really the Washington Spirit, who I think in the way that Gotham made like those pregame fit walks really famous. I feel like the Washington Spirit became super famous for these like fun group photos they would do before games. And I think of it in a few different ways. One, taking a professional team photo does not like make you more professional than another team. Like when the Spirit were often taking those photos, they're on their way to winning a championship. Like they were taking those photos and having fun and still scoring a lot of goals and coming back in games and playing good foot. Like they were on their way to winning a championship.
Also,
so it's like,
can I also just say, like, has she seen Trinity Rodman play? You think she's given anything less than 6,100% out there? Every single, like, she does the most running, the most intense running that I've ever seen every single match. And you think because she cheesed and was goofy in a team photo that she's not dedicated or not right. as professional as she could be if she took a serious photo? Huh?
Right. Well, I'm also like, this thing about like quote unquote professionalism, like, A, I don't know why you're bringing this up, because A, you played for the Portland Thorns, that never happened, like on your squad. B, this doesn't happen for the national team, so it's like, why are you bringing it up?
Uh-huh.
And C, like, fundamentally, and I got this quote, I hate plugging my own things, but I am going to do this, where I interviewed Lynn Williams a few times for The Athletic, and she gave me this fantastic quote that I still think about to this day, where she was like, and this is a paraphrase of we are playing a kid's game. We are adults that have the privilege of playing a kid's game, and we should take joy in that. And to me, like, professionalism and seriousness are not one and the same. They're also not mutually exclusive. You can be an extremely serious football player like a Trinity Rodman and still have fun and be goofy and, you know, do dances when you are, like, I bet you would think that after, like, low-key after Brazil scores, and instead of doing, you know, a regular, like, or in a more Americanized celebration, they start dancing. Like, is that unprofessional? Like, it just, those two things are not mutually exclusive, and you can find, and this is, like, what the crux of my point really is, like, you can find joy in this game in so many places, and that does not make you any less of a professional. And also, on the flip side, in France, it might be so regimented, and it might, and, you know, and I heard Darian Jenkins, friend of the pod, say this, of, you know, when she went to play in France, it was like, you showed up at one time and you did this and you had this crazy regimented schedule and all this stuff. And it's like, well, that was, it's probably good. Like, she was like, but we still didn't have the same resources as teams in the NWSL. Like, there's like, and And this professionalism thing is so, it, I don't know, it's like so frustrating to me because A, I feel like we get the, like, we constantly get the moniker put on us of like being unprofessional. And so, yeah, maybe it's like a bit of a sore spot, but I'm also like, professionalism shows up in football in so many different ways. Like, cause it's really just, like at its core, it's like kind of like snob. It's a little snobby. Like to me, that's what it is at its core. Like people, you can find joy in this game while taking a fun team photo and then go win your team's first NWSL championship. Those two things are not mutually exclusive.
My reaction to the fun team photo thing was just like, you're annoying. Like, honestly, like if that's something that bothers you, you're just a very annoying person. And that's unfortunate. Like, yeah, it takes all types, blah, blah, blah. And she did say, like, I'm not going to try and stop them or anything. First of all, you're in France. How the hell could you? Right? Like, you didn't stop nobody. Like, what are you doing? Like, so I don't really understand that aspect of it. Like, and people were like, she said she's not going to do nothing. I'm like, yeah, and how could she? It doesn't make any sense. But it's just like, it's such a... The funny thing for me is that the title of the article was just like, Lindsay Horan just wants to talk about football. When the fuck did she ever get around to talking about the football?
I was like, she did literally the opposite.
She talked about everything else but the damn football. And I'm like, okay, I would love to know. What are your thoughts on like the tactical problems? What happened at the World Cup? What if you want to say that people in France understand your game better, then okay, help us. Help us understand your game. What were you asked to do at the and for the national team? What do you do for Lyon? How is it different? Like, let's get into the conversation. Talk about it. But instead, team photos, American fans, the culture of the team needs to change. We've heard all that bullshit before, and it ain't got nothing to do with tactics or the football, but that's what you said you wanted to talk about. So, like, a lot of that is what I wrote as well. And it's just like somebody tried to say I had a smear campaign against Lindsay Horan. And I was like, yo, listen, if I add context to verbatim quotes and you think that's a smear, my guess is your problem is actually more with the quotes than what was said. Because if all I'm doing is adding context and you're like, hey, that sounds bad. Well, I guess she probably was wrong or said some things that sounded bad. I don't know what to tell you. That's not from me. But like, it's so obnoxious to see. Like, I just don't understand the personality type. I don't understand what was going on with her that day. I'm hoping it was just a like that day thing, but my guess is not, because this seems like a lot of stuff that's been built up. I honestly don't understand where any of this was coming from. It honestly does not make a lot of sense to me, pretty much any of the quotes that she said. Because again, if you want to talk about football, when did you actually get around to it in this interview? You want to talk about American fans, but you're talking about commentators as well. You drag your mom into it and talking about Julie Foudy. And that example is just like Julie Foudy saying she had a good game. And she's like, I was fucking shit today. All right, man, your mom's just trying to keep your head up. Like, your mom's just being your mom. Right? Like, what you get? Why is that the example you point to talk about American fans? I honestly don't understand. And also, my question would be, what other content from American fans are you absorbing? Right? Are you just like, why do you think that? How many American fans do you think are just listening to it just based off your mom's comment? You know, how much are you reading? How much are you absorbing? I mean, obviously, I know she's a professional athlete, so I'm not expecting her to be online all the time. But like, to make a comment like that, you have to have some level of awareness of what content exists and is out there. And I just have a question. Like, what are you aware of? What's not up to snuff? And I think up for me, like getting into that conversation, there's a lot, sure. But like, there's plenty out there where if you want, like, the thoughtful, the analytical, the tactical, like breakdowns, that stuff is out there. It's harder to find, but it's out there. And so like, I don't know, like all of it is just a very strange interview. I called it curious in like the first, my intro paragraph to my piece, because I was just like, who asked for this? What was the purpose of this? What was the intention behind this? What was supposed to be accomplished by any of this? I don't have good answers to any of those questions.
Well, I also want to say, like, talking about the culture of the team and the culture of the team needing to change, I'm like, yeah, the culture of the team needed to change because the coach who was heading the team for the last, 18 months would play for penalties. And that's antithetical to the core and being of the U.S. Women's National Team. That's a culture that needed to change. And that comes from the top down. That does not come from, like, people like in and out every day, like the culture you wanted on the team that you wanted to change and to make it more serious and give demands. And all of that came from the top. I can't tell you any other U.S. Women's National Team manager that would ever be like, yes, let's play for penalties. We are purposefully playing for penalties and we're going to get through that way, as opposed to we're going to go and keep pushing for a goal. And maybe if we get scored on at the last minute, we get scored on, but at least it's, you know, we are trying, not a, yeah, we're just going to try to settle for penalties. And I'm also like, you're saying the culture needs to change. I cannot wait. I would pay $1 million to be a fly on the wall when Emma Hayes takes full charge of this national team and what those conversations are going to be like, because
I want to be there.
If you haven't watched it, go watch it. DAZN put out an entire docuseries about Chelsea, and we heard Emma talk as a manager. And to be fair, Twyla said this as well, of like, she has extremely high standards. She still cares for you as a player and as a person, which I think is extremely important. But she has extremely high standards. She told a bunch of players, if you're not good enough, get out. We will replace you. Honestly, if you want to be the best in the world and continue dominating and being absolutely ruthless against teams, that's the type of... You want to talk about mentality? They love bringing up mentality. That's what, like, all the old, like, old FedEx girl, old wind sprint, like, love talking about mentality. All the old vets love talking about the U.S. Women's National Team mentality, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, that went away with Vlaco, because Vlaco wanted to play for penalties. And that's antithetical. You think Emma Hayes is not going to not only immediately reinstill that in this team, but also probably push it to a level that has not been seen before? Because she's also an extremely qualified coach to do that. And it's not just like the way you carry yourself, but also like, I'm going to tell you all the things you did extremely wrong during this game and force you to be a better player in the process or get out. Like, that's coming. It's like what you're mad at is not the cult. Like, you're mad at the old coach, not actually the culture of the squad.
Yeah. And she's
that's
like,
something that comes from top down.
Transposing also, that like Change on it. Her teammates.
Right.
And it's like, why would you do that? And I, you know, talking about like Emma Hayes coming and all of that, like, yes, Emma Hayes ruthless and like the standards are high and you do the standard or she finds somebody else who can perform the function that she wants and you'll have to work your way back on the training ground until she can trust you and put you back in there. Like, it's possible. It's not like you just cast players completely off unless they just really don't fit what she wants to do. But like, there's also the balance with Emma Hayes. She's that, but then she's also goofy talking about Star Wars, talking about geese and pressers. Like, she is one of the funniest like coaches. She's ridiculous. She's a ridiculous person, but she does it in balance. So it's both. You get like the very intense side, the ruthless side of what you like. The standards are high. You have to do that, but then you also get the silliness. And this is the whole thing.
She'll dance with you when you win a trophy.
Yeah, and this is the whole thing. It sounds like Horan doesn't seem to understand that you can have both, but they got a coach coming in that is like the like actual perfect illustration of both existing at the same time. So that's going to be very interesting. But also, I want to get back to you talking about the culture of the team and playing for penalties and all of that. Yeah, they think that it seems like Lindsey Horan and Carly Lloyd only talk about like running harder, wanting it more, you know, but never say die, all that like Disney movie bullshit. Is like, nah, like the biggest problem that I saw was that the team was fucking boring. And that collection of players should never be boring. And that's a problem. Like, I'd be focused on that if I was a national team captain, because joy in this sport is important. Having people feeling the freedom to be themselves creatively on the ball. Again, we talked about this in looking at the Gold Cup roster. Where is your creativity? Does it just exist in Roosevelt and spot minutes from Olivia Moultrie? Maybe if she can, you know, if she can thread passes on a national team level at this stage. I don't know. I've seen Jaden Shaw do it. Don't have the exact same parallels to Olivia Moultrie, at least just yet. Not saying she won't get there, but just saying, like, if I'm looking at it, Roosevelt's your lone creative spark. And that's my concern. And like, looking at the team, it was boring. It had a hard time linking to the attack because the tactics were bad. Players did not have, what does Courtney say, the capacity or the facilities
They don't have the facilities or the capacity.
Correct. To actually like be dynamic on the ball as a passer, as a 1v1 dribbler, which is why we are calling so much for Crystal Dunn to be in the midfield. You need a threat. You need a threat. You need to be able to work the ball in the space. And if you get by one midfielder, all of a sudden everybody's backpedaling and things open up. And with that attack, you got options. If you can consistently do that, you're going to be extremely hard to defend. And I just don't see where it comes from, especially if Roosevelt isn't on the pitch. But even if she is, like, it's not a mindset that exists. It's only that trying to grind everything out. Nah, that ain't how you play this sport. It's not that, like, that's Jose Mourinho ball. That ain't how you play this sport. And with the attack and talent that we have, should not be trying to Mourinho ball anything. You should not be talking about just run harder and it'll be great. Like, that's how we win. It's not. It's not. Like, when we've balled out, we've balled out because we've had some really sick ass attacking players who did some sick ass shit. And like, that's fun to see. That's how you score a bunch of goals and piss off the whole world because you're celebrating up like 10, 11, nothing, right? Like, that's the history of the squad. And that's what we need to get back to. It ain't got shit to do with running harder. I'll tell you one thing. I don't want Trini Robin to run any harder. Like, she runs any harder, it's going to be a problem. Like, it ain't about that. It honestly ain't about that and really never was.
Yeah, it's just weird vibes all around. That entire interview was really weird vibes. And also, like, I'm just like, why did you drag the fans? They're just doing nothing but supporting.
Which is also funny because, like,
nothing but supporting.
The fans that she dragged.
Team game now.
The fans that she dragged are probably the fans that are more likely to like defend her, like the casual watchers who just are there for like the jingoism of it all, the patriotism of it all, that don't really have like the knowledge or awareness or follow like women's like club football and all of that. Like, those are the fans that she really targeted, and like, you realize that's your base, right? Like, just letting you know, like, you realize that's your base. I mean, I don't know how she feels about like Ron DeSantis, but it feels like Ron DeSantising herself and just like really going at her own base. And it's like, you realize you need these people, right? Like, I don't know if this is a good idea for you, but shout out to you for being silly. But like, yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah, very, very confusing. Very confusing all around. I would also pay $1 million to be in this next locker room the first few days. I would pay $1 million. I really would. Also, one thing, and this is going back to Emma Hayes, and then almost the whole title is like, Lindsey Rand just wants to talk about football. And then I feel like the people who say that, and Andre, I know you alluded to this or said it openly in your piece, very much feeling like just focus on football and like ignoring all the other stuff that goes into just what makes a person and their lived experiences and the intersections in which often a lot of these people reside in. And that's like so insane to me also as a concept, knowing how much also we've heard of specifically Emma Hayes' players, like outside of the, like the extremely high demands and all that stuff, is like bringing your whole self to the pitch and that really being a core tenet of her as a coach. And so that's also just like such an insane thing to say that also almost goes in the face of the next head coach of the national team, you know?
Yeah, completely agree. But okay. Anything else to say on that, or you want to just move on?
She dragged her mama in the New York Times. I don't like, I know it was an indirect, but like it was there. We all saw the through line. And it got printed in the New York Times. If any of my siblings did that, I would somehow paint the house with all the that issue of the New York Times. Being like, remember when you called mom dumb? But also, if you ever wanted me to do anything, I'd be like, hey, remember when you dragged mom in The Athletic that then got reprinted in the New York Times, so you dragged mom in the New York Times? I would hold that over them their entire lives. But she dragged her mama in the New York Times! Like, that's... I don't think I'll ever get over that. It's my new Roman Empire. I think about it probably once every 2 days. I'm not joking. Genuinely. Like, genuinely, I think about that, like, the second half of that quote. I'm like, your mom is probably just trying to be there to support you.
That's
good
it.
Old support.
The way that she tells that story, it's like, do you realize how it makes you sound? Like, your mom just was trying to tell you that Julie Foudy said you had a great game. Who knows if Julie Foudy even ever said that? Maybe she did.
Just said, you also could have just said a friend. I was talking with my friends after the game. That could be anyone. That could have be said anyone. Anything. Not your mama.
Yep, said her mom. And then that was her proof. That was her evidence. That's what she brought to us as proof that American soccer fans are dumb. They aren't smart, in her words. That's her proof. Her mom. And what relaying what Julie Foudy said. So either you got super beef with Julie Foudy or you got super beef with your mom and called her dumb.
I think it
is. Or is it both?
Both.
It sounds like both.
That's I'm not joking. That's gonna be there are two things. There are three things I think about all the time. The fact that kids aren't taught phonics in this country. Now it's gonna be Lindsay Horan dragging her mom in the New York Times. Dang, she dragged her mom in the New York Times. I'm just gonna think about that all the time. I'm not exaggerating. I'm still there. I'm still processing that. It's gonna take me like a year to process. Truly. Because I would cease to exist. That's the thing. I would cease to exist.
Well, I was gonna say that's the other thing. My mom ain't having that.
Not a chance.
Mm-mm.
You better go call someone to print a retraction or do a public apology.
I don't know how this works or makes sense, but I was like, Mom, I was hacked. I don't know what happened. Like, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. I didn't do it. I was misquoted. I don't know what happened. I didn't do it. I didn't say it.
How do you think her mom found out? Do you think someone texted it to her? Look at what your child said about you.
I hope she at least gave her a heads up. Like, you know, I hope
she did.
May have used you as an example for something and then just didn't explain it. But that even might be worse. Someone I just want to know, did her mom call her
a
text?
Did someone send her a screenshot?
Like, Lindsay, did you say this? Is this real? And you got to tell your mom.
Yeah. Hey, Carol, did you see this? I don't know if her mom's name is Carol, but like, hey.
Not Carol.
Did you see this? Like, oh, God. I can't believe... I can't believe the world we live in. Take your mom in the New York Times. Oh my. Oh my days. I'm thinking about that all the time. All the time. Even if it was indirect, it still happened. That link dropped in the family group chat.
Lord have me. See, that's the other thing. I don't know. I honestly don't know if she has siblings or what, or like how close she is with them, if she does have them or whatever. But I'll tell you this. If one of my siblings said that, and I only got one, if my sister said something like that, you know how randomly I would just drop that in the group chat, be like, remember that time?
Yo, once, like literally once every 48 days, right? Like, I can't remember this.
Like, you want mom to do something for you? Remember when you called her stupid in front of the whole world? You remember that? You remember that?
Got printed in the biggest newspaper in the entire world. Cool. Andre, I think we got to move on, but yeah, I'm still be thinking about that during our next episode. Every time the U.S. women's national team plays, every time the U.S. women's national team plays.
All I'm gonna say is I already have my tweets in the draft, so I can't wait for games to start. We'll see what happens.
Unprovoked. Unprovoked too. It was unprovoked.
I honestly think you called it, where it was just like it reads like a Shannon Sharpe interview. It just came out of nowhere, and it was like, what? First of all, how long has this been on your heart? Because this is something that's been on your heart, either like you just thought of it and got mad about it, or it's been burning you up for like years. There's no in between.
Yo, I can't. We gotta go. I can't.
We have just the last part to get to of this, and really it's heated and hype, but I want to do a couple things to talk about, because some things happened in the European game over there. And so I want to talk about the Women's Champions League quarterfinal draw, in case you missed it. That did happen. So Brand goes against Barcelona. Ajax and Chelsea play. So basically that means the winner of Brand Barcelona, which, I mean, it's going to be Barcelona. And then the winner of Ajax Chelsea.
Don't sleep on
Brand. I'm sorry, but it's Barcelona. It's going to play the winner of Ajax Chelsea. And then in the other side of the bracket is Benfica and Lyon play. And then BK Häcken versus PSG. And the winners there will play one another to figure out who gets to the final. But before that, though, the last day of the group stages was kind of bonkers. Like, nothing changed mathematically, so we'd already dropped an episode. But then Benfica went out there and drew. Barcelona were leading. Barcelona needed a 96th minute header to get mm-hmm. the win, to get the draw, to save to a draw against Benfica. That was dope. 4-4. I mean, the year before that, I think they had. I don't remember
them, like, 9-0 or something.
Yeah, well, it was two. It was like the aggregate score was like 15-2 or something like that. Like, it was really bad. So this is really dope for Benfica. And then Lyon, 2-2 to Slavia Praha, which is just like, wow. So both of those clubs drew on the left. And it ain't like they played their B teams. Those were starters in both teams.
Mm-hmm.
That was the starting
line. Benfica Barcelona game was absolutely wild.
It was fun as
like, I'm sorry, what happened? Excuse me? Shout out to Jessica Silva.
Yeah. And also, I was like, as somebody covering the spirit with that Barcelona coach coming over, I was like, hey, man, don't start acting like a fraud now.
Okay.
Like, you better tighten up. Like, don't come over here and act like everything's all good. Like, I don't know where all that went.
Under six scared straight.
I was like, hey, man, listen, that extremely high line playing these random players out of position, like no real true center backs. Like, I know you got injuries, but hey, bro, stop tripping. So, yeah, that happened. And the WSL, really, the role right now, just kind of looking at the WSL until like the big teams play each other, you're just kind of waiting to see like who's dropping points, because that's basically going to tell you how the title race is going. And Arsenal lost this past weekend to the Fighting Christy Mewises. West Ham.
I would actually like to amend that. It's the Fighting Katrina Gorries.
Well, absolutely.
Katrina Gorry.
She's balling.
But masterclass against Arsenal.
She is balling.
So good. Also, her daughter Harper reading out. Did you see the video? Of her daughter Harper reading out the Australia team.
It's adorable. They need to pay Harper.
Thing about me. They do. Player. She'll score a hat trick.
Yeah. So that was, you know, deeply funny to me that Arsenal lost that game. I didn't watch it, and I stopped trying to call these things in my newsletter. So I think maybe like me shutting up is the answer. So, you know, I shut up and look what happens. So hopefully that happens, that continues to happen, because I don't know. I, as a Chelsea fan, number one, as somebody who wants Emma Hayes to walk out with all the trophies, you know, makes it a little easier.
I'm also going to keep just a little bit quiet because I do want Chelsea to walk out with all them trophies. However, I do want to give a shout to Vivian Assay, balled out.
Oh, yeah.
Big baller. Huge baller for West Ham. And also, I think you're just also immediately seeing, like, what happens when you actually fund the team and start signing good players. And you're like, oh, we can win games. They're officially, like, not in the relegation race anymore.
Yeah, they got some like, big results, too.
I was like, they've gotten 6 points off the bounce. Like, those are six important points. Like, and so, yeah, obviously great for West Ham. I hope they don't play well in a cup for Chelsea later this season. But
correct.
It was Katrina Gorry was she was balling in the midfield. Small yet mighty.
Yeah.
Small yet mighty. She was a player cracking skulls and taking names. That was her in that midfield against Arsenal.
Yeah, there you go. And that's pretty much the way to break Arsenal. You know, this is what they want to do. You hit them, and they can't, especially without Katie McCabe, they don't really hit back. So you really don't have anything. So
was she
it's
out
just,
back to match?
Yeah, she
was it for
she,
yellow card accumulation?
Yeah. And I think she intended to be out this match, and then it hurt them because she didn't want to miss the next match or whatever. So, like, yeah, I think it was probably something that she was trying to be calculated about, and they ended up needing her against West Ham, and I guess she didn't anticipate that, but whatever. Other bit of note before we get to Heated and Hyped, Emma Hayes said that Katerina Macario will likely make her return to the pitch after the international break. She even said there's an outside chance before, and today when they played Sunderland, Kat did warm up with the team as well and posted about it and said it felt good. I'm getting closer. Listen, I cannot
Mackenzie
wait
Davis.
To lose
I know you're listening to this podcast.
My voice.
Please charter us a plane to go to London. Oof. I know you're listening.
I
charter us a plane because I need to be there.
Yes.
Y'all are not ready for me when Kat is back and playing for my essentially my childhood club. You will not be ready. Block me right now. Block me right now. I'm so ready. This is what will bring me out of the perpetual Sunday scaries that is winter. I need this, and I need it to happen, and it can't come quick enough because I will be on a plane. I will be right there. I will be right there.
Yeah, I'm real hype about that. Which, you know, honestly, it could have been our joint hyped, but I'm going to get to heated and hyped and see if you heat what you're heated about before we get to hyped anyway. So, Courtney, what are you heated about?
Technically, things I can't talk about on this podcast, but I think the new moon in Leo. Now, look, I'm not an astrology girly. I only hear it on TikTok, but I can't lie. A few weeks ago, they're like, you're about to have a really hard few weeks because something, something moon in Leo. And I wanted to stop. Okay, I wanted to stop. I did not ask to be put on the trials and tribulations package for a third year in a row. I wanted to be on the easy life package for 1 year, and I needed to stop. This Black History Month is not Black History Month-ing in the way it should Black History Month, and I want it to stop. And so I think all of this is being, all the foolishness that's been happening is being controlled by this moon situation. And so for the second time of this podcast, I'm mad at the moon.
Okay.
What do you think of that? I know you weren't prepared for that.
I wasn't. Not the moon or any celestial bodies. I'm not mad at them at the moment. I'm mad at the Washington Mystics, if I'm being honest. I don't know what they're doing.
Mystical astrology moon.
I'm really frustrated about, like, if it sounds like there's a lot of nepotism happening. I know, like, the son of the dude who was the good coach is now the coach, and he's not as good, but it doesn't seem to matter. And Natasha Cloud is out. She's signed by Phoenix, which really sucks because she was, like, just, like, in this area. She was just super dope. Like, she was always out in D.C. She was always doing stuff. She had a ton of love for the district, and it was just, like, really cool to see that love was reciprocated as well. Like, she's just one of those players that just, like, got it in this space and fit so well and fit the team too. The team has this, like, kind of like intensity about it that was really driven by her, and it doesn't, that's gone now. Elena Deladon is gone as well. I'm really sad about that. It sounds like, I just saw the alert, it looks like she's going to take a year off, but there's also questions about, like, does that mean she's taking a year off because it's her choice to take a year off? Or is this because, like, she's now, I think the contract situation is where, like, the Wizards can offer her, like, the big supermax, and, like, another team can't really match that. Like, the team she may want to go can't really match that because the salary cap, and because she's been on the Wizards, they can offer her more. And now, because she can't really move teams, because there's no, like, viable trade option, maybe there's a hint that could be why she's choosing to sit out. But she's also had back problems, so I don't know if this is just, like, let me give myself, you know, a full, like, off, like, a season off to try to recover. I don't really know. I just know it sucks. And, you know, the Mystics, I don't know, man. It makes me sad. I'm kind of hype about the rest of the WNBA. Like, in WNBA, free agency has been awesome. But, like, the hometown team got me a bit heated.
They hurt your heart.
They are. So, okay, switch gears. What are you hyped about?
The fact that both Chelsea teams won today.
That hadn't just happened that since, like, the Obama administration.
1977. Real bad. Both teams scored today, or won today. For some reason, I love them. Well done. They're not dumb, but I just like it. I love them with my whole heart. No, I think my actual hype is Kat essentially coming back, because I'm ready. I will be insufferable. Just prepare yourselves. I will literally be insufferable. And, oh, also, my knee doesn't, for those who know, obviously I had knee surgery. My knee still humbles me every, like, fifth step, where I feel like I'm walking good, and then I'll take a step and then my knee will crumble a little bit, being like, you thought you can walk normally. And I'm like, dang. And that has started happening less. And I'm like, let's go. No more getting humbled when I'm walking. It's the tiny baby. But yeah, that's probably, oh, and I have a full weekend off this weekend. Something, well, it's not a full weekend, but it's like almost a full weekend, where I only have to do a little bit of work Sunday night, or like Sunday morning if I like want to have my day to myself. So I'm particularly really happy. Real, real happy. Truly thrilled. I get a full weekend off.
I'm happy for you about that. And also the knee. I know it's been a journey, so like I'm happy about that.
Me, except now I'm still heated, still beefing with McCaff. Has honestly gotten a little bit worse after my PT put his elbow in my calf. My calf was like, absolutely. Oh. So yeah, still heated with my calf, but hyped for my knee. Andre, what are you hyped about?
Oh, good. Yeah. I mean, honestly, the big one is Kat. I can't wait for her to come back. It really sounds like she's in a good space as well. Like mentally, it's been really tough. It sounds like recovery, and it can take a long time, and it feels like it's taking a long time. But if it feels like it's taking a long time to you or me, I know it feels like it's taking a million times longer to her. So the fact that it's this close, and hopefully she's able to make that come back and officially get on the pitch and start playing again, because I know that's really like the last real like hurdle. Like that's the next thing to just do. And hopefully she's able to do that real soon. But also, I'm going to say my real hype though, like my legit, I mean, that was real hype too, but like my legit one that I had in my head before I wrote that down to talk about was today, Francesca Kirby scored her third header in her last four games. And every time she scores a header, it makes me so damn happy because I swear to you, she is like centimeters away from being 4'11". But instead, she is 5 foot and she somehow keeps scoring headers and it cracks. She doesn't do it infrequently. There are times where she definitely scores headers, but not like a ton. Like they'll pop up on occasion. Out of her, I forget the homie like Harry Edwards. He has all the stats, and I can't remember.
I'm mad at Harry because he tweeted Ajax and Barcelona, and then it happened.
Oh well, yeah. Harry also has these problems with being a bit too clairvoyant, so that was a problem. But yeah, so like I can't remember exactly how many headers she has scored out of her over 100 Chelsea goals, but like it's not the most rare occurrence, but it happens so infrequently that it's just like it just makes me smile. It's just a delight. And the fact that she scored 3 and 4 games now is just hilarious. It just cracks me up. Like, I don't know whom keeps giving up headers to Fran Kirby, but it makes me laugh. And I want it to continue. I want her
think,
to
she's
score.
She's never going
to
get it. She's so small.
I know. She's it's ridiculous. It's hilarious. And she just, you know, it's right to the head. That's how she's been scoring 3 of her last 4 goals. It's been amazing. So, like, yeah, I am here for it. And it makes me laugh. It makes me happy. I said on Twitter, Angel sing, baby stop crying, the sun smiles, everything's better when Fran Kirby scores a header, so please keep doing it.
Maybe that's why the sun came back to the East Coast. We haven't seen her in like 3 weeks.
That's it. Fran Kirby headers.
That's why she came back. I miss the sun. Seeing the sun is good for your body and mine, and I've missed the sun, and now the sun's returned. And good night.
Thanks for listening to Diaspora United Podcast. Please subscribe and rate and review us anywhere you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Diaspora United Pod. That's Diaspora UTDPOD. And message us if there's anything you want us to talk about in our next podcast. See you next time.